Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Gardener Mari Staunton still to come on the programme. In particular, Mari is going to be focused today on how to protect your plants, your garden, the window boxes during this very cold weather, and how your garden then will recover afterwards when hopefully the weather gets a little bit milder. So if you have any questions for her, you can WhatsApp us 0870 32 32 32 or text us 51551. Now, as we have been covering on the show this morning, over 100,000 people are fleeing the devastating wildfires currently sweeping through California, with the fires being billed as the worst ever to strike the Los Angeles area. Lyndon Pronto is Senior Fire Management Expert at the European Forest Institute, and he began his career as a wildland firefighter in California with the US Forest Service. Good morning, Lyndon.
Good morning, Claire.
Good to have you with us. I know you have been keeping a close eye on the scanner traffic in the Los Angeles area. So what are you seeing and hearing about the difficulties that the firefighters are facing now as they attempt and try to do their best to deal with these blazes?
Exactly. You said it. It's doing their best, the best they can. There are so many things going on, so many different hazards happening at the same time. There's when this all started, of course, high extreme winds, poor visibility, and in this case, you're not focusing on, you know, being able to contain the fire. You're first focusing on saving life, ensuring that you can limit the damage where you can, evacuating people who have challenges evacuating, like nursing homes. There are people that are fleeing on foot, leaving their vehicles, blocking roadways. So it's quite a chaotic event in the first hours. That said, you know, we're over a day into this event, and the Santa Ana winds are still predicted to continue into next week, with still high winds until, you know, later Thursday night. So it's a very nasty situation all around, and multiple events happening.
I'm really interested to know, though, what your firsthand experience is like of dealing with this, because this is how your career began as a wildland firefighter. So you know exactly what it's like to walk into an area where everybody else is getting out.
Yeah, exactly. And that's right where the problem starts, is everybody is trying to evacuate. As a responder, you're trying to get into an area like this. These types of major conflagrations in urban areas used to be a once in a career type of event when I started in 2007. And now over the last 10, 15 years, these have become increasingly common, to the where it's every year as a firefighter in California, you're potentially dealing with a situation like this. And yeah, people are trying to get out. You're trying to figure out where to set priorities when, you know, the only thing I can compare in my career that I can compare to a specific situation was in Colorado Springs in 2012. And it was a, you know, similar high winds pushed the fire down into Colorado Springs, into an urban area. There was no, you know, classic fire front. It was just hopping from house to house. And so you go in there and, you know, we basically picked a street and we said, this is our line. We're going to hold this. We're going to try and save everything to the south. All these houses to the north are already on fire. There's no point in wasting resources. We were 15 engines and, you know, a huge house division. So it was one engine per street, basically, if that. And we just had to, you know, pick where we could draw a line and try and make sure the fire didn't spread to other houses. So instead of putting water on the house that's on fire, you put water on the house that's next to it. And yeah, you have to accept your losses and accept what your capabilities are in a situation like
that. So you're making decisions based on what's in front of you. So you have to be willing and able to make very fast decisions based on that situation.
Of course, and it's a constantly evolving environment. It's extremely dynamic. You have curveballs coming your way. You have houses or garages that are exploding. The amount of hazardous materials people store in their garages, barbecues, there's outside propane tanks. You know, it does feel like a war zone at times with, you know, gas lines exploding. And these are all things that you have to mitigate. You have to, you know, determine on the go, okay, is it even too dangerous to approach this structure or the one next to it? there's a lot, and you know, in this case in Southern California, one of the big issues is, you know, rolling rocks. So when the vegetation burns off the hillside, which is very steep, then you have a lot of rocks or even bigger boulders that come rolling down on top of you. And I've experienced that before. That's no fun at all, because that, you know, things happen without warning, and you have to adjust your plans and you know, be adaptive.
And Lyndon, we had an eyewitness description earlier on of the fronds of the palm trees setting alight, then becoming detached, and then launching themselves almost like incendiary devices. And because they're so dry, as soon as they touch off a house or a structure, that too goes up. Have you seen that happening?
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is one of the challenges. All of our fire management challenges, for the most part, nearly anywhere in the world, really comes down to the vegetation and managing the vegetation properly. And this is, of course, you know, not a new issue. Having highly flammable, whether it's eucalyptus trees or plantations in Portugal, or, you know, even in these neighborhoods in Southern California, you have a lot of eucalyptus trees which are interspersed. And eucalyptus trees are, like, you know, designed, mm-hmm. you know, by design, they spread themselves through fire. So that's why the bark is so flaky. And once it catches fire, it blows through the, you know, through the superheated gases in the wind, it blows and, you know, it can start new fires. And the palms interact a similar way. The inside is not a classic, you know, tree trunk in a palm tree.
They're extremely flammable. Just thinking about the very expensive homes, Lyndon, the super houses, the houses belonging to the stars and the power brokers in Hollywood, particularly in Pacific Palisades. I mean, can they take action to fireproof those premises, and do they do that?
Of course. I think that's one of the frustrating things to see every year is, you know, of course, they have, you know, very high, you know, insurance deductibles and coverage. And so, you know, when a property burns down, it gets rebuilt in the same place, you know, even bigger. And sometimes then you have the, you know, after the fires, you have the rains, and then the rains and the mudslides and the debris slides. And, you know, sometimes they're spaced out by a year or two. So even some of the homes that burn down then get washed away a year or two later in a debris slide. I mean, that's a kind of a observed phenomenon in this area. And one of the frustrating parts of this is if you can afford a $12 million home, then you can afford to fireproof it, and you can afford to landscape differently. You can afford to make sure that you're not having very flammable fuels right up against your property. That's one element there. Another element is of course ownership and how dollars are allocated, and the land around these communities is not owned by, you know, an individual living in that community. It's often state or federal mm-hmm. land or reserves. So, I mean, then the onus there is then also for these other agencies to be able to do the land management that's necessary to buffer these communities, but therefore they would need the dollars and they would need the personnel.
Right.
And those can I go elsewhere.
Can I just go back to what you have been seeing then on the scanner traffic? What's your assessment of how this is going to play out from here, given what you've witnessed?
Well, you know, they're, like I said, the you know, the weather is not, it's going to let up a little bit, but you know, it's going to be a long haul in the coming days. And many of these homes caught fire after the main fire front went through. And that's just because there's not enough resources to go around and man all these different properties that are burning. And so you have, you know, maybe smoldering something in a backyard or smoldering in a gutter or under an eave or something like that, which, you know, of course, is not going to grab someone's attention right away unless you do a full inspection and walk around. But that gets established, and then you have, you know, every few minutes there's a new structure fire reported. And people report the fire, and it's like, yeah, we have eyes on it, or we know it's there, we're seeing where we can get the resources, or we don't have the resources, or we can't access it. So there's a lot of ongoing issues, and unfortunately, it's likely that houses will continue to burn in the coming hours, and that the containment on these fires. I mean, we're still expecting very high winds throughout the day and into tomorrow. And these high winds, of course, bring with it the opportunity for spot fires. It brings with it the opportunity to, you know, have these fires spread further. It's also an open invitation to arsonists. And that's a, kind of a problem that we don't like to talk about, is the arson problem. I mean, this past year was the second highest year on record for number of arson arrests in California. And I mean, this is a serious issue that needs addressing.
Well, you think that there are people who would see this as an opportunity?
Yeah, of course. I mean, if someone is trying to light an arson fire, that's you know, it's, you look for the right weather conditions, and this is certainly, I think, you know, it's unconfirmed, but I did hear of already, you know, one arson being arrested just in the last few hours.
Right. I mean, so it is happening. I mean, we also learn a lot, and I know you probably know this already, but when we're just watching this fire rip through, we learn a lot about how quickly it can move, how vicious fire can be. We were talking earlier on the show about, you know, jumping across motorways. And then we've seen as well, it, you know, not setting fire to a backyard, zipping down the side path of a house, not touching the house, and then setting fire to the front yard. It's extraordinary, really, just to see how fire behaves in that way.
Yeah, of course. It's a, like I said, it's an urban conflagration. It's not behaving like a wildland fire would in a forest or something. I mean, this is wherever there is available burnable, and that's where the Santa Ana wind event was so key in priming this, is the lowest fuel moisture. So the amount of moisture in any fuel vegetation that is the lowest at any point in the year during a Santa Ana wind event. It's down in the single digits, which means certainly anything that's dead is tinder, and anything that's even alive is also you know, susceptible. But mm-hmm. even if you look at the aerial images right now, you see the phenomenon where there's many of the trees are still standing and all of the homes are burned down. And clearly, you know, we need to better adapt to fire in these landscapes. And if we look at the, you know, the different plant animal species that have learned to adapt with fire throughout evolution, we need to be taking more cues from them and studying why can a redwood tree withstand centuries worth of fires, but one of our homes is done in a matter of minutes.
All right. And I see that the news agencies now have new aerial pictures of the wildfires raising across Studio City in California. And we heard that Sunset Boulevard is pretty much destroyed as well. So it is an extraordinary event. Lyndon, very good to talk to you, and thank you for taking the time for being with us. Lyndon Pronto there, who's a senior fire management expert. Coming up next, our gardener Mari Staunton answers your questions on recovering your garden from this cold snap.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.